The only thing I've been more excited than seeing Vin Diesel jump out of a plane in a moving vehicle has been to talk with the Marvelous One here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Single, Paul Shavari, and myself, Mike Mercado, about the craziness that was the NBA draft lottery. Marvelous, I found an interesting article that might be able to give some solace to Bulls fans all around because it was a bad night when we found out the Chicago Bulls would not only not be in the top four, but they would have to be giving away that draft pick that they did land in number 11 to the Orlando Magic. We'll talk about all the details in a little bit, but it was a very sad day for Bulls fans. And then I found a maybe a light at the end of the tunnel. Marvelous, I'm going to run this by you. We're going to talk about the state of the Chicago Bulls. We're going to talk about what happened after that draft lottery. But this is something I came across, and I want to give a shout out to Jack Simone, who wrote this article. It is Chicago Bulls linked to possible trade for the 23rd pick in the 2023 NBA draft. So this caught my attention because of how bleak things seemed after the draft lottery. So let's take a look. As things stand, the Chicago Bulls don't have a pick in the 2023 NBA draft. If their first round pick had jumped into the top four at the NBA draft lottery, they would have retained it. But instead, the pick stayed at 11th. In turn, it will now convey to the Orlando Magic, like we mentioned. As for their second rounder, the Bulls were forced to forfeit the pick after the NBA concluded they broke tampering rules when signing Lonzo Ball, something that we covered and something that is biting this team long term, and something we'll be talking about as the weeks and months go on, the health of Lonzo Ball. But right now, the future of the roster when it comes to its foundation in this post-draft lottery. However, just because they don't currently own a pick doesn't mean they won't get involved in this year's draft. There's still time for them to trade into the draft, and there could be an easy way for them to do so. The Bulls traded for the Portland Trail Blazers 2022 first rounder, but it was lottery protected, so it conveyed to 2023 and then to 2024. And now, with Portland landing the third overall pick, it will convey to 2025. Those protections continue until 2028, meaning the Blazers cannot trade any of their first until then, unless they work out a trade with the Bulls, that is. See, Portland owns the New York Knicks first rounder in this year's draft, which landed at 23rd from the Josh Hart trade. This is where things get really interesting. However, according to Casey Johnson at NBC Sports Chicago, there's ongoing speculation around the league that Portland could trade that selection to the Bulls in order to change the protections on the other pick. So this is what KC had to say. But the fact that the Bulls are embarking on their same pre-draft process and interviewing projected lottery picks at the combine, despite not currently owning a pick, indicates management is open to anything. So is the fact they've landed so predominantly in league-wide speculation this week? The Bulls and Trailblazers already had been linked to negotiating in advance of draft day because of the lottery-protected first-round pick Portland owns from the three-team trade, where Lauri Markkanen moved to Cleveland, Larry Nance moved to the Blazers, and Derrick Jones landed in Chicago. But that speculation centered on the first-round pick that the Trailblazers had from the Knicks. So this continues to go on, and this is where I think for a lot of people, it finally kind of hits at home, okay? So this is where Johnson also wrote the possibility that Chicago could strike a deal for that pick, but noted the potential pros and cons of this, okay? After the Trailblazers, and this is for their third overall pick. So Marvelous, I want to run this by you in a second. After the Trailblazers jumped from the fifth to third pick at Tuesday draft lottery, multiple outlets reported that Portland will explore the market for that pick in an attempt to land a big splash star for Damian Lillard, Johnson wrote. Would the Bulls instead engage in talks for that pick, which unequivocally would necessitate the inclusion of LaVine or alternatively, DeMar DeRozan? One league source told NBC Sports Chicago that if the Blazers went this route, they would be focused on more defensive-minded two-way players. Lillard does have strong relationship with both LaVine and DeRozan, the former of who he played with in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. So stay tuned. So a lot to unpack, Marvelous, but the big thing is, it seems like the smoke, the fire is between the Chicago Bulls and the Portland Trailblazers. The more likely of this very unlikely scenario is the 23rd pick. But there is also the speculation of you ending up with the third pick if you're willing to get rid of one of your stars. I think this is all, again, hoping for luck and wishes and buds and Christmas and nuts and all this stuff. Because it's once again, your organization did none of the right steps, did none of the right moves, and have put yourself in this situation where you hope other teams make mistakes. Marvelous, you saw what happened this entire season, this looking for a 1.8% chance to get into the top four, and now grasping at straws to find some solace into the future of this Bulls organization. What do you think about this entire story?
Well, the entire story is interesting. I don't know that I would want a 23rd pick. I would be more interested in a third pick, and defensive-minded players like LaVine and DeRozan, I don't know. That sounds like a fair statement. However, since I can't pronounce anybody's last name, and Giannis is the Greek freak, and Victor's gonna from now on for me be the French freak, we hit goal with Derrick Rose in the same kind of percentage. But here is what it is: I think the third pick might at this point might be worth DeRozan or LaVine personally, because it's not working, even though they have the three so-called studs. Now, Vukovic may go anywhere, which is he may go free agent, go back to Orlando or something, which would be ironic because he cost them the second round pick, and Ball, the tampering, cost them the first round pick. So now they won't have Ball or Vukovic, let's say, for example. So, and they might as well, you know, retool with LaVine going to Portland or whatever. And, since they played in the 2020 Olympics, you said, with Lillard, and get a third pick. Now, what it seems to me is, though, they didn't even use their first round pick from last year, who wasn't a high pick. Terry, did he play? I don't know. I never saw him. So I'd like to get somebody that's going to actually contribute right away. And you never know what's going to happen, because sometimes players are not drafted, like Strus, or not drafted very high, like Brunson, and they turn out to be pretty good pros. The fact of the matter is, you know, Chicago wasn't even a pro basketball town. They drew more at the stadium for the college basketball doubleheaders. The Stags failed in the 40s. The Packers and Zephyrs failed in the 60s. It wasn't until they struck lightning with Michael Jordan. I mean, I can tell you, they were begging for people to go for a while. So, I mean, it's never going to get to that point again. But, that I mean, it was funny. It was a hockey town. I was talking to you about that. I mean, I still like hockey. I had Blackhawks tickets. I never really had season tickets for the Bulls, but I had partial season tickets for the Blackhawks. And I was in the balcony, $8 in the corner, you know, 1,000 years ago, obviously. But, you know, they still have their rules where you can go four overtimes, like what happened with Carolina and Florida. And as you pointed out, interesting hockey markets. But be that as it may, for the Bulls, going back to the Bulls, they need something dramatic. They can't stay with what they had. They need to do something. And it's just remarkable. Miami may go to the finals, and not only did they lose a play-in game, but they were down 3 points to the Bulls with not that much time left, and then the Bulls only get one more point after that. And so that's remarkable in and of itself, but Butler can carry a team. But for the Bulls, I just don't see them being more than a middling team with this current setup. I like to see them probably, you know, they'll have to get a lot of parts if they don't have LaVine or Vukovic. They build around DeRozan, I guess. But it was just unfortunate that they didn't get Victor. That would have been really nice to have had both the Blackhawks and the Bulls get the top pick, with Bedard going to the Blackhawks, generational player for hockey, and I guess Victor's a generational player for basketball. But there are other great players that are in this draft, and 3 would be a pretty good player. 23 would not be, in my view. So I would go with the 3 and retool. 23 doesn't excite me. So I'd go all out if I were them. What do you think?
So it's interesting, Marvelous. There's so much about this Bulls team that people do like about it. I think Zach LaVine is one of these guys who is it's a testament to his resilience to these bad knee injuries and him being able to have this comeback and have this adversity that he went from a small market to a big market during this time in his life where he was going through some horrific injuries and came out the other side a max player. Came out the other side an all-star, an Olympian, and somebody who gained a lot of respect in the NBA. DeMar DeRozan is beloved in the National Basketball Association. Like, there is no more respected pro like DeMar DeRozan. And for the Bulls to land him, they paid a lot of extra money to get him. But for him to choose Chicago was a huge thing. Vooch is another pro's pro, a two-time all-star. An exciting move at the time. A turning of the tide for this organization. And then you have your this what's supposed to be a raw talent in Patrick Williams and Ayo Dosunmu, this second rounder trying to make a name for himself. And then every year you bring in just these other guys that are supposed to be these veterans. So there's guys to like on this team. It's just the team isn't likable. And that's the truth about this Bulls team. All things can be the same. All things can be true at the same time. You can like this team individually. You can love these players individually. You can wish they could have had all the success in the world, win 73-9 and win title number 7. But that's not what happened. And that's not the reality of this team. So now it's a coming to your God moment. Respectfully, whatever you worship, if you're the Chicago Bulls, what are you? Look in this conference finals. You do not match what these teams have. You do not have a Jamal Murray or a Joker. You don't have a Tatum or a Brown. You don't have a Jimmy Butler anymore. You don't have, obviously, an Anthony Davis and a LeBron James. You don't have that. We talked about it on this episode. Ja Morant, a talent like that, a talent like Devin Booker, a talent like KD, like Steph Curry. Just go down the list. You don't have that. And now, because of decisions made that didn't work, and if they did work, we wouldn't be here criticizing them. But because it didn't, you don't get a chance for Victor Wembanyama. You don't get a chance for a Brandon Miller, for a Scoot Henderson, excuse me. You don't get the opportunity to have this next generational talent to try to build your team and go against Giannis next season. Go against Embiid next season. Go against Donovan Mitchell next season. These are all teams still in your conference. What are you going to do? We have seen this before. The Chicago Bulls are in basketball hell. And I don't trust this front office to be creative enough, like the Lakers were, to make adjustments on your roster in the fly for the betterment of your organization. I believe this is a team that believes its front office is the smartest front office in the room. And we always know that that just works out perfectly, right? When you assume you're the smartest person in the entire office. To me, it seems like these Chicago Bulls believe that front office is the most cerebral front office in the NBA. I believe they're smart. I believe Arturis Karnašović does get credit for helping find and scout and develop a Joker. I think Mark Eversley is an awesome general manager and has been around the league. Once again, that doesn't mean that this chemistry, this mixture is going to work. And I've already seen how many missteps. Let me ask you this question. A lot of coaches got fired. Billy Donovan got a secret extension. Now, I'm not a guy that wants coaches to get fired. I don't believe that. But is Billy Donovan a great coach for this team, for what you're trying to do now? Or is he a great coach for what you should be doing, which is building up young players, building a defensive team up, finding a team that shoots a lot of three-pointers? Oh, I don't know, maybe mirroring what the Milwaukee Bucks are doing. Sorry, guys, though. You could do all that you want. If you don't have a Giannis, it makes the thing a lot tougher. What do you think, Marvelous?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Donovan is – technically more worthy of being fired than Rivers or Budenholzer, because Philadelphia and Milwaukee didn't win the Eastern Conference playoff title, but they had excellent seasons and their percentages have been outstanding. So unless it's the players have a lot to say in these things, obviously. So unless it's the players that want these changes, I don't see any guy that's better for Philadelphia than Rivers. And, you know, and I, you know, with Giannis, I could probably coach Milwaukee, but the requirements for an NBA coach are so much different. It just, I think sometimes it's just they're out there to just make sure that the players somehow gel because they're all such great individual talents. So otherwise it's going to be like an NBA All-Star game if they don't have, you know, do you think, I mean, I honestly don't know that they actually run plays sometimes in the NBA. I mean, it does look like it's a lot of free form and everybody has their skill set. I mean, do you think that was amazing that Jackson could do that with the Bulls, you know, when they were good, that they had and Jordan resisted, you know, what was happening at the time of having the, you know, the system that Jackson had where they shared the ball a bit. But I just don't, I mean, who's going to be a better Philadelphia coach? Who's going to be a better Milwaukee coach? They did fine. So as it stands now, Donovan is a decent record. I mean, he did well at Florida in college. He certainly, you know, did okay at OKC.
Well, Marvelous.
So I don't know.
This is what I'm saying, though. I don't think, because we are in the era of player empowerment, but I don't think this is a player empowerment thing. I think if you look at specifically like Phoenix when they fire Monty Williams, and I even believe in Milwaukee or in Toronto where you have new ownership. And that's the thing, is like these new owners want to make an impact and make decisions here or there. And the one thing, if you're looking at the Bulls, it's the total opposite.
Yeah.
Whether it's Jerry or Michael, they're not going to fire anybody.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so I would take Rivers or Nurse or Monty Williams as coach of the Bulls. I mean, I don't know that their skill set would lend itself to more improvement or whatever. What do they actually need? There's not even an ability to be a stern tactician. You know, with his face, you think Thibodeau is, but other than that, it's the only guy that looks like he's suffering out there.
Well, this is my thinking. It's funny you bring up tips. I was speaking about this with Paul off mic earlier on today at the office, that there's a tier of coaches in the NBA. Steve Kerr, Spoelstra, and Popovich. Those are coaches, no matter what the team are, your team is going to get better. It just, it changes the whole culture. Then there's the next tier, Billy Donovan's, Doc Rivers, Thibodeau, and you just start naming them off like Budenhauser, and you look at Monty Williams, and you look at Nick Nurse and Frank Vogel and just some of these other coaches around the league, right? And it is this level thing. But here's my thing about the Chicago Bulls and about what we saw this draft lottery. If Billy Donovan is your coach, that's awesome. Cool. I'm with it. This is not the team. This is not it. I do not trust the front office in Mark Eversley and Arturis Konashovis or Jerry Reinsdorf or Michael Reinsdorf to make the right move. Not to not make a move. We've seen them be aggressive. We've seen them spend money. We've never seen them hit the home run on the big free agent, and we've never seen them hit the home run on the big trade. And right now they're in a position where they have to hope for a sign and trade for Vucevic because of the salary cap and being over the luxury tax. They can't make a big move. And even if they were in control of Victor Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson or for Miller, do you trust them in development right now? Because I don't see it in Dalen Terry. I sure as heck don't see it in Patrick Williams. Mm-hmm. I don't trust what this Bulls team is doing right now.
Right.
And the problem is, I have not trust with this Bulls team, whether it's the front office or the coaching staff, since 1998. And we've seen this team be snake bitten over and over again. But the answer is, you have to pick a lane, Marvelous. They have to pick a lane. And right now, if you're going to go and you've done this secret extension with your coach and Billy Donovan is the guy, then you have to blow it up. You have to get draft picks. And you have to hit on them. And you have to develop your young talents. And you got to pray that your front office figures out the right moves and just instead of the move.
Right. I agree. Now, you were talking about some of the people they could get at three. Like Henderson, he's a 6'2 point guard, which would really be helpful to have somebody like that. So, I mean, the Alabama kid, I mean, is bigger. But depending upon what they decide to do, I think that it's important that they get somebody like a Henderson that can shoot three pointers. And he's shown that. And I mean, it appears as though, from what I can tell, he didn't actually attend college. So he's,
yeah, he was a G leaguer.
He's a G leaguer, but he's done pretty well for himself, and he's projected as a top three. So I'd like to see him get somebody that can contribute right away on this team. And a guard would seem to be their main need, unless they make, you know, they lose a lot of other people. But, in fact, it's funny. I was reading about Henderson. He's considered to be similar to Derrick Rose. They said so. That would be very interesting. They could bring Derrick Rose back too for a farewell tour at this point too, if they wanted. So that would be another thing. But in the East right now, it looks pretty solid with Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, New York, even as four teams that they may not be able to crack that top four. So they need a retooling, in my opinion, to get into that rare air. I mean, you look at New York. I mean, a guy like Brunson, he wasn't. I don't think that he did much at Dale's, and he was like their leader basically. I saw him play at Stevenson, and he was amazing. But it didn't surprise me. He's a pretty good pro, but he had to find the right place, I guess. But other than that, it looks like, you know, they might be able to make the playoffs, but they're not going to go very far. Much like, you know, they're not going to beat Milwaukee or Boston, Philadelphia, New York, even maybe Cleveland now, you know. So they need to retool with some young talent, and maybe these free agents, because even though it seemed like they had a pretty solid nucleus, it isn't working. Vukovic may be gone anyway, and maybe they'd make a deal for LaVine or DeRozan, and then the big three isn't there, and they can rebuild. I mean, it's almost like they need to rebuild a bit because they're in the middle tier and they're going to go down, and they need to really do something to go up.
This roster stays the same. This team won't make the play-in next year. No. And that's upsetting. And it's the all too familiar feeling that Chicago Bulls fans, modern Chicago Bulls fans, have felt. It's a sinking ship with no life preservers. But Marvelous, you know what is a lifesaver? You know what makes everything feel good? You know what makes you feel like you're on the Titanic before that big old iceberg appeared?
A good night's sleep.
Feeling the amazing sheeting and the ultra cool and sustainable eucalyptus bedding over at our friends at Sheets and Giggles. Join over the 100,000 people sleeping soundly on Sheets and Giggles' famous eco-friendly eucalyptus Lysol bedding. This is amazing stuff, and you get 50% off your purchase by using the promo code The Sports Cubicle Sports from the Couch. Make sure you're following us all over the universe. We're on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV. Make sure you're subscribing to us on YouTube. Check out the video version of the podcast over at YouTube.com, The Sports Cubicle, and everywhere else. Just search us at Sports from the Couch. We want to know your thoughts. What do you think about the Chicago Bulls? What would you do to get them out of NBA hell? For the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, for Devin Single, for Paul Shabari, I'm Mike Mercado.